The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon in Washington. Frank Isola in New York in place of Tony Kornheiser, who's probably somewhere in between playing, 36, 54 holes of golf today. So without Tony, Frank, we're going to start with the huge new deal for Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs signed their star quarterback to a 10-year extension on top of the 2 years he has remaining, making it a 12-year tenure deal in total. And the richest contract in NFL history. Frank, what does this commitment say to you?
Is this the part of the show where I'm supposed to remind you that a team moved up in the 2017 NFL draft to get a quarterback and it wasn't Patrick Mahomes? I think that was your Bears and Mitchell Trubisky.
I'll tell you what,
if you're going to pay anybody, if you're going to pay anybody, you're going to pay Patrick Mahomes. He's only 24 years old. He's already the best player in his sport. And I was thinking about this. If you look at guys like LeBron, Mike Trout, Alexander Ovechkin, great players in their sports, they haven't done what Patrick Mahomes has done in the last calendar year, and that's win a championship. This is a guy that we're not going to be judging how many times he's on the cover of Madden Live or how many MVPs he wins in the regular season. It's going to be about Super Bowls, Mike. He already has one, and he's a Super Bowl MVP. This is money well spent by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, we think it is. I mean, it looks like it is. One, you've got to presume some health, which you can't do in pro football. I mean, we've gotten used to, and quarterbacks, yes, they tend to be healthier and remain healthier than other people playing other positions because they're protected more. So, yes, we've been able to have Tom Brady. You know, I think he missed most or almost all of one season. But we've had Brett Favre. We've had Aaron Rodgers. You know, you've had all of these quarterbacks who, for the most part, the greatest quarterbacks have been out there, and they have to hope that for Mahomes. Now, we'll get into this contract later, in our case tomorrow, Frank, in terms of exact dollars, because it doesn't matter other than the guaranteed money. I mean, agents love to float these numbers, and reporters sometimes love to lap them up. Oh, it's going to be worth $500 million. $400 million's already being talked about here. It'll be the richest contract, I guess, even when you talk about just guaranteed money, not comparing it to Dak Prescott, because Dak Prescott hasn't done what you said, which is win a championship. And so I know that ridiculous comparison will be thrown out there, you know, all day for the next, you know, week. But Frank, here's something that's important about the quarterback position and money. Hardly ever does the highest paid quarterback in a year play on a championship team. So this isn't basketball where you expect to see somebody in the title game three, four, five, a LeBron-like nine times. It just isn't. So they may have to settle what the definition of great in the NFL for a quarterback may be getting to a conference championship game X number of times. Tom Brady was willing to not be the highest paid quarterback so that money could be spread around and spent elsewhere. Are the Kansas City Chiefs going to be able to do that for that team with Mahomes under this contract?
Michael, if you're drafting today, every player in the NFL, you know that you're taking Patrick Mahomes number one overall. He's like Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. When he runs, he's looking to extend the play, throw it downfield. It's not Cam Newton, even Lamar Jackson, where they're talented guys, but they're running, they're going to get hit, and it's who knows how long they're going to last. This guy is by far the best player, again, in the sport, and we're only going to judge him like we judge Tom Brady and all these great players on championships. He already has one, and he's the MVP. It's about guaranteed money, but at some point, let's say 10 years from now, you know how it works in the NFL.
They'll get rid of him.
His contract, they'll get rid of him. But the next 10 years, I think he's still a pretty good bet.
This takes him to 37 years old if he was to serve all 12 years. And real quickly, Frank, you mentioned you drew the comparison between Russell Wilson and who else did you say? Aaron Rodgers. How many championships has each one of those guys won? Remind me.
They have won. He's only 24, Michael, and he should have gotten to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Patriots
they were
had
young.
That great game
Aaron Rodgers was in his 20s when he won. Russell Wilson was 23, 24 years old. It's not basketball. It's harder. and you need a team around you that requires money to be paid out. I'm just saying, Patrick Mahomes is the best player. He's the best. He's earned this deal. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, going forward, I don't know if we want to judge him by championships, plural one. I'm just saying.
All right, Mike, let's move on to baseball, where they know a thing or two about massive contracts. What they're struggling with, of course, is testing for the coronavirus. The Washington Nationals, they closed camp on Monday as the defending champs await test results from last week. Mike Rizzo, the Nats team president and general manager, said unless Major League Baseball resolves their issues with testing, the season is, quote, at risk. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Michael, what does it tell you that he went public with this statement?
That doesn't even matter. Several people have gone public with things in the last couple of hours, Frank. I mean, Chris Bryant of the Cubs. You have all these players saying,
yep,
essentially, if baseball can't get this right, we have no confidence. And they have expressed that they have no confidence. One player after another after another. While we're sitting here doing this show, there are players going to Twitter or their agents or whatever form they're doing or being interviewed saying, wait a minute, what are we talking? We have no confidence. Buster Olney. And to me, if you're going to talk about a small list of experts on baseball, Buster Olney qualifies. He said a week ago he thought there was zero chance baseball was going to get through the full season and about 5% chance they would start the season. Frank, when I listen to the comments from these players today, as in right now, I'm thinking, what are they talking about? How are they going to have a season? And in the meantime, you know, you have like, you know, professional, the Premier League, which you are so familiar with, they had zero positive, yep, tests they've gotten back out
it's
of
amazing.
Nearly 2,000 players and staffers. Frank, baseball is so far from this. Do you see a season coming off right now?
I really don't. And the fact that it's only 60 games is a joke to begin with. Major League Baseball should have resolved their financial issues months ago. They should have been already on the field. And you mentioned, you look in Germany, Italy, England, where they're playing soccer, they're able to pull it off. And except for the NWSL, no other professional leagues are out there right now playing. And here tonight you have the Yankees in New York are going to play an inter-squad scrimmage. It's going to be televised on the YES Network. And yet the Nats had to close camp. The A's weren't able to open up their camp on Monday morning because they didn't get the test results back. Major League Baseball is saying, well, because of the July 4th weekend, these are things that should have been figured out. And you mentioned Chris Bryant. He said guys have gone 7 or 8 days without getting tested. The guidelines for Major League Baseball were that you were going to get tested every other day.
Every
other
day.
And you know the results within 24 to 48 hours. I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off. I just don't.
Man, I mean, it just looks like, one, they're crammed into a time period, Frank, where it doesn't look like that. And so I'm now expecting, like in the next 24 hours, unless they're, I mean, unless players just decide, okay, we're going to just shut it down and not say a word. And that's not how baseball players and owners work. I mean, there hasn't been cooperation on any level, which you just referred to. And so now that you have this level of widespread doubt about the system in place and just getting it started, I don't know how you sustain it. Let's move to a report from The Athletic that several Ivy League coaches expect the conference to move football season to the spring, Frank, with an official announcement coming Wednesday. The report adds, quote, college athletic administrators throughout Division I told The Athletic they expect a cascading effect following the Ivy League's decision, close quote. Frank, if the Ivies postpone football season to the spring, do you see the other conferences following suit?
Well, let's go back to March 12th, kind of a significant date. That's when the Ivy League decided to shut down their men's and women's basketball tournaments. And even coaches in that league thought, oh, this is a mistake, we're jumping the gun. Meanwhile, that ended up being a smart thing that they did. Now, the Ivy League can get away with it playing in the spring. It's not a revenue-generating sport. No offense to their players. Not all of them are going to go to the NFL. In fact, very few. I wonder about leagues like the SEC, where football is king there. But I think they all would be smart, because what you're doing, Michael, is you're buying yourself some time. If you know you're not going to start until January, you play February, March, there's still time for the NFL Combine, the NFL Draft. You can get a season in. Now, do I think some of the top players will play those games? Probably not. If you know you're going to be a first-round pick, do you really want to play January, February, and March? But I think in order to get the season going, why wouldn't you do it? Lincoln Riley, the coach of Oklahoma, he said, you know what, it's doable. So if you have some of the top coaches at these programs saying that, why can't they pull it off?
Frank, I agree with you. I mean, it's not just a matter of can they pull it off. I mean, should this be their focus at this point? We're talking about baseball and the issues they're having. I mean, I think that we both agree football, pro, and college are going to confront all kinds of situations. You can ask the pros to do a whole lot of stuff because they're pros. You're getting paid. You already have a situation where the players are being, the labor force is being exploited in college football. And now, so you're going to tell me the college football season can be played in the fall. People can go to camp in a couple of weeks, and we don't know. I mean, we don't even know if there's going to be school. We don't know how schools are going to function, the very schools that these players represent. So I don't see, however, the SEC going along. Not easily, not even willfully. They're going to be dragged kicking and screaming. The SEC wants to play when they want to play, when their TV contract is in place. We know football is about habit, which, of course, everybody uses the word transition. Yep. It's habitual. And so do I see the big conferences, even my own, the Big Ten, just sort of happily going along with this and following the Ivy League? I do not. They may be forced to, but willfully right now, Frank, I don't see it, but I agree with you. This could be the best path forward. It could even allow, and I can't believe I'm saying this, it might even allow for some fans in the stands. We don't know. There could be treatment. There could be a vaccine, even though that seems far-fetched too. In time to play this season in March, April, May, but I mean, what do we think the chances of that are really are?
And you're buying yourself time, which is what you need. The Athletic had quoted a Power Five administrator thinking now that this has happened with the Ivy League, maybe it'll create a domino effect.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, Mike, on to golf. And if you remember, it was about a month ago when you predicted that fellow golfers would not follow Bryson DeChambeau into the weight room. Well, guess what? The 26-year-old, who's killing it off the tee, powered his way to a career-best 23-under to win the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. The Washington Post is now calling him the most interesting man in golf. Caesar Sportsbook has him as the favorite to win the Masters. But forget all that. What does Michael Wilbon now say? Are you a believer? Speak for yourself here, Michael.
No. No, I watch enough golf, follow enough golf, and play enough golf to understand there's no one great secret. If there was, somebody would have discovered it. There's no one great secret. Oh, I'm going to lift more weights. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to bomb it. What, he's the first guy to think that? Look, DeChambeau was this scientist, this self-proclaimed, and it's working for him, although what is he ranked? Didn't he go in number 10 ranking in the world? I mean, it's not like he's taken the whole sport over in the last year and a half. He may rise even further. He may get to number one. He may sustain it for a while. But, Frank, no, everybody's not going to go out there and bomb it. I don't believe that's a secret to this. By the way, here's why DeChambeau is good for golf. Because he's good enough in terms of being top 10 ranking. He's going to go higher. And he's also disliked enough. I mean, this guy, he is so much jerky behavior that you hear about piece by piece from people on the tour around the industry of golf. Golf could use a good villain. This guy's good enough, and he's got some charisma, and now he's got this odd backstory of the mad scientist. He is great for golf. I don't think he's going to run out there and win every tournament and sort of win all four majors this year. I don't. Three majors. Only three this year.
You're right about the villain. Remember, the players used to complain that he played too slow? And then over the weekend on Saturday, he's getting into it with a cameraman who's just doing his job at a time where you have so many people out of work. Here's a poor cameraman filming him, you know, in a sand trap, and he's yelling at the cameraman. But, Mike, he's hitting the ball off the tee. He averaged 350 yards. Are you doing that when you're playing with Larry Fitzgerald? I don't believe that you are.
Well, two shots.
Tiger Woods, his best was 340 yards. That's what he averaged back in the 05 British Open. So I think what he's doing, he's adding a little bit more personality to the game. I think it's good that a lot of people don't like him, but he's bulked up. Tiger Woods was more like a defensive back, where DeChambeau is more like a linebacker, and he is absolutely crushing it off the tee and basically getting rid of his irons. It's tee shot and then the wedge
and wedges.
And a couple of putts, and he's good to go.
Yeah, well, you know what? I remember about 4 years ago, Jordan Spieth was going to replace Tiger and Jack Nicklaus on everybody's bedroom wall. How'd that work out? He's a fine golfer.
Injuries.
Fine competitor. He seems like a really good dude. Take over the sport? I mean, only a couple of guys have ever done that.
I didn't say
Jack,
that.
Tiger, and who else? I mean, seriously. So I'm not awarding that trophy. What did Dennis Green say? You want to crown him? You want to crown him? Crown him. Good for the game. Crowning him.
He's favored to win the Masters.
We'll see about that.
That'll make you take notice.
Sage, Kevin, we'll take notice of you back in Bristol.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, Frank, it's time to get happy. I'm supposed to have props. You know, that's what Tony does. I got glasses. I got a cell phone, not a tablet. Happy 20th birthday, Zion Williamson. Very few rookies in team sports history have been as irresistible as this kid. The fascination with him is surely a huge reason that the NBA included six additional teams, starting with his Pelicans, in its bubblicious restart plan. And he has certainly justified the hype by averaging 24 points and 7 rebounds in the 19 games he did play. Off the top of my head, Frank, only LeBron, Magic, and Kareem generated this kind of heat as rookies. No, not Jordan, not Kobe, not Gretzky, not sixth-round draft pick Tom Brady. No, Zion is a national, dare we say, international obsession. And now sycophants are armed with a photo that they believe is testimony that over the past 4 months he has worked to make himself leaner and stronger, which, Frank, I say is irrelevant because he's already a physically superior being.
He does look great. Remember, Michael, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of Zion making his summer league debut. Remember that night? He ripped the ball away from Kevin Knox.
I was there.
On the ground like a rag doll, dunked the ball. He only played one half. He had a knee injury. There was an earthquake. They shut him down. You didn't see him again until January. And here we are in July waiting for Zion to play again because you're right. The reason there are 22 teams going to Orlando is to get Zion in the playoffs.
Zion, Earthquake. Frank, I forgot about it. I didn't know there was an earthquake. I had no idea. I was right there. I had no idea what was going on.
You were doing your meet and greet at the time. You weren't probably paying attention.
Happy anniversary, Rafael Nadal. On this day 12 years ago, you won a five-set thriller over Roger Federer, a match that John McEnroe says is the greatest he's ever seen. Fed, ranked number one at the time and the reigning king of tennis, was just 2 points from winning the match himself, but couldn't hold off number two ranked Nadal in a 4-hour, 48-minute test of wills in what was the longest men's final in Wimbledon history at the time. Federer and Nadal has an Ali Frazier, Yankees, Dodgers quality to it that boosts the greatness of both men. The problem in making the case that Federer is the GOAT is that Nadal is 24-16 against Fed in their personal rivalry. Would Jordan be the GOAT if he was beaten like that by Stockton and Malone? Or would Brady be the GOAT if he had a similar record against Peyton Manning? Or if Ali had lost 2 of 3 to Frazier? Nadal has just one fewer slam, 19, to Federer's 20. Seems like GOAT in men's tennis, Frank, is up very much for grabs.
And let's remember, too, Roger's surface is the grass. Nadal won there twice, once against Roger. Nadal's surface is the clay at Roland Garros, the French Open. Federer only won there once, and he didn't have to beat Nadal along the way. And I remember that match, the one that you're talking about from 12 years ago. Remember the awards ceremony late? It seemed like it was late at night in London.
It was dusk.
What a match that was.
I have thought that McEnroe played the greatest men's tennis match I've ever seen, McEnroe-Borg, but Mac says it's this. So
Borg,
who am I to try to argue with Johnny Mac? Happy trails to three minority owners of the Washington professional football team. The group, which includes FedEx chairman Fred Smith, owns approximately 40% of the team, and according to a Washington Post report today, the three prefer to no longer work with principal owner Dan Snyder. Some of us who live in the DMV and have been around the Redskins for 40 years read into this that Snyder's kicking and screaming and stomping and still has zero plan to just change the name of the team. Frank, further up I-95, where you people, you New Yorkers, pay a little attention to the Washington football team, what are you reading into this?
Well, I would say this. You know, Daniel Snyder is looking to build a stadium downtown. I get it that these minority owners are leaving. Don't you think he'll be able to recruit other guys? Again, these franchises, the value goes up all the time. Maybe they're just looking to cash out. Maybe they've had it with Daniel Snyder and just want to take their money and go home.
Or it could be somewhere between that and a power play. When you say, you know what, if Snyder doesn't really want to do this, the league could get involved. Others could get involved. I know these are difficult times to think about transactions of $3+ billion, but you know what, Frank? There are enough people right here in this area who call themselves Washingtonians because they live somewhere in the district, Maryland or Virginia, who would want to have a toy known as the Washington whatever.
Mike, up here in New York, there's a certain basketball team where a lot of people would like to see a change in ownership as well. The two have a lot in common.
Yeah, they do have a lot in common. All right. We're going to toss it back to Bristol. Sage and Kevin, we'll throw it to you.
Mike, Frank, thank you.